Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limit off.
That's right, we are on the air broadcasting live, as always, from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. That's right, the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, the one, the only, Dr. Dana L. King, in the TTLO Media Studios today, man. And I'm excited to be here on this day after Father's Day. That's right, the day after Father's Day, the day after we were supposed to be, should have been, could have been, celebrating some fathers, huh? But that's what it is. We got a good show for you today. Man, look here. We got a great show. Watch this. How to lose first-time guests in 10 minutes. That's going to help somebody at church today. How to lose first-time guests in 10 minutes. I'm not saying you want to. I'm just saying you shouldn't have to. How to lose first-time guests in 10 minutes. That's our main topic of conversation for today. But we also going to talk about, of course, Father's Day. How was that for? If I got any fathers on, we're going to give you guys a chance to check in. Whether it's your father, if you want to talk about your Father's Day, talk about your father, all that good stuff, we can do that on today as well. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the craziness in this space and place we call Chicago. We're going to talk about that as well. 55 people, last count, 55 people shot over this double holiday weekend, because we had Father's Day and Juneteenth. So we got a double holiday weekend. So that means more time, for lack of better words, more time for stupidity. Can we just put it like that? Yeah. More time for stupidity in and around these spaces. So we're going to talk about that. And then, of course, the church check-in. We're going to do the church check-in. That's right. How did you spend your Father's Day in worship? So we're going to do the church check-in as well. That's always enlightening for all involved, the church check-in. But in the meantime, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you are already listening on the line, all you got to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the land, the one, the only, LaTanya Michelle King, taking all of your calls, texts, chats, email requests. Yes, we do bar mitzvahs. Whatever it is you need done, go ahead and give us a call. She'll push one. That'll get you over to her. She'll check you out. Then you'll be over to me, and you'll be live on the air with your boy. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375, because that is the call-in number, 323-870-4375. That is, one more time, the call-in number. And again, if you want to be on the air, just push one. Again, you'll be bounced to her. She'll get you back over to me, and then you'll be live on the air with your boy. If you want to follow us or email the show, rather, if you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. Right. If you want to email the show, again, you can email the show. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, that's right, follow us on Instagram. That's real simple, real easy to do. Follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. Same thing, at TTLO Radio, two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us on the gram. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us on Facebook. And we are live there right now. Yeah, we're live there right now as well. The live streams are up and running on both Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. You can find us on Facebook. Just do a simple search on Facebook Live, Facebook, TTLO Radio, or it's facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then we're up and running on YouTube as well. Just go ahead and find the TTLO Radio show on Facebook. Find TTLO Radio show. You can find us live right there as well. And we're live on Twitch. Look, man, we're live everywhere we need to be. So y'all come on in, take a seat, join in with us. We will be glad to have you be a part of what it is we're doing here at the TTLO Radio show. Also, we can catch us on anywhere you can download a podcast. You can find us there. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you can download a podcast. You can find us there. And yes, we are on iHeartRadio. You can find us there as well. Real simple, real easy to do. Just do a simple search for the TTLO Media Group, and you'll find us on the TTLO Radio shows. All of them will be there. Yes. All right. So also look here. As always, I'm excited to be here this Monday after the day of worship. Always excited the day after worship to be on the air with you all. It's always a good time. Always a good time to be in worship with the folks. We also have our chat boxes open on live and the chat box open on Blog Talk Radio. I just remembered. I just clicked it. Yep. So the chat box is open on Blog Talk Radio as well. Feel free to jump in on there as well. All right. So look, y'all, it was Father's Day weekend. I'm hoping you guys had a good time this past weekend. It was Father's Day weekend. It is also Juneteenth. Today is Juneteenth. We'll give a little conversation about that as well. But it's something that we always want to make sure we are giving its just due when it comes to this holiday, Juneteenth. But I want to talk about Father's Day. How was your Father's Day? Let me know, how was your Father's Day? Come on in and chime in with me. Let me know. How was your Father's Day? Father's Day 2023, did you just chill? The weather was great. It was nice out. It was a good Sunday. We had a good time here yesterday at the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church for our Father's Day service. We had a good celebration on yesterday. And then we had a little reception. Is that what you would call it? A nice reception afterwards with some light snacks. We had our donuts for Dad. Hallelujah. Let me tell y'all right now. I was excited because it only took me 4-5 years to get the dads for donuts, huh? So I was excited that we were able to do that on yesterday. It was a good time here at Ebenezer. Had a good crowd yesterday as well. That was always good. Good crowd. People showed up. People showed up with their dads in tow. So that was always good, man, to see the fathers out yesterday and just the different generations. I know I saw Deacon Smith, his son was here, and Deacon Smith is 100, y'all, and some change, 103 now, right? I think, yeah, he's 103. So he was here with his son. Deacon Taylor was here with his son and his daughters. They were in town. Brother Henry Carroll, I believe, is right at 100. He was here with his sons yesterday. So it was just a good time, man, to see all the people out celebrating Father's Day. I wonder, is there a report out? And maybe we should have looked this up before the show. Is there a report out about how restaurants do on Father's Day? I know they don't do half as good as Mother's Day, but I'd be curious to know what the restaurants look like for Father's Day. What you got for me?
I got a question.
You got a question. What you got?
I can't even hear myself. That's good, though.
Oh. You hear yourself over here. But you,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
there it is.
You on? Yeah.
So, Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's so confusing as to how to celebrate. I know we're supposed to celebrate, you know, the men in our lives and blah, blah, blah. Everything else.
The fathers.
The fathers.
No, not the men. Right.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, uncles, people that helped you and everything.
Yes.
You know, uncles,
yes.
You know,
yes.
You know, those men that have had a...
some kind of influence. Right. Gotcha.
And everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my question is, in regards to, I heard some people be up there like, if I ask some women and everything, I'm like, oh, what you gonna do for your husband? They be like, absolutely nothing. And they be like, you know, he ain't birthed me. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, you might be right.
I've heard that. And, I heard that about Mother's Day. Like,
right,
I've heard people type. I've seen guys type, that's my wife. She not my mama.
Right, but she's your.
But she's the mother of
your
children.
Children.
So, yeah, that, it's odd. It is a little weird.
It is a really fine, thick line that sits on the fence between, like, you know, don't get your tail whooped and everything else like that.
I know for me, I look at it this way. All of my father's days from the time I knew I was a father up until present, all of my father's days, I spent with my mentor, Lovey McCurtis.
Right.
So, and his way of chilling on Father's Day was the absolute best. what I do, I get this topic. Bro, you can call in, man. Go ahead and call in, Briscoe. Go right ahead, sir. Man, I wish you know what, y'all always welcome on the show. Because I can't remember how to do I know there's a way we can get you on here, like, live with your picture and everything. But you definitely could go ahead and call in, put the number.
Oh, yeah, with Restream, we definitely.
Oh, we can? Okay, well, we can figure that out.
Yeah.
If you want to come on camera, we can figure it out. But for right now, if you just want to call in, you can. But, yeah, I know for me, I spent that time with him, and his idea of a good Father's Day, he didn't care about gifts. He didn't care about none of that. He just wanted to be left alone, to sit out on the patio.
And I remember you saying, like, you know, in terms of, like,
uh-huh,
of a day of rest and peace.
Yes.
And everything else like that.
Yeah.
That you would take a Sunday off.
I would. If I had that option.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have that option.
Okay.
I would love to take I would love to take Father's Day off.
Okay.
And not have to come to church. And okay, that's not being disrespectful to the Lord or none of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to be able to.
Like, the reason why I brought it up is because my coworker, she had asked me, she asked me about you.
What we do?
She was like, what was I doing? And I was like, my daddy passed. I was like, I don't know. And everything, like, you know, and I was like up in the air with, you know, about the whole, you know, situation with my stepfather, because he had gave me a gift, and I'm looking like, you know, like.
For Mother's Day?
Yeah, he had me a gift.
You ain't told me nothing.
I ain't told you nothing. I'm so sorry, man.
What?
Turn it
off. Look at God. Come on. Come on. Clean it. Okay, go ahead. What'd you say now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, when I'm, you know, I'm just going, like, right now, I'm not going to say I'm old, but as I progress in age,
mm-hmm,
and everything,
mm-hmm,
you know, things have, like, you know, taken a step where I'm just going, I mean, like, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, I appreciate you. And
did you get him a card or something?
I'm getting something I'm getting something for the flag for his brother.
Okay.
And everything.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Moving forward.
Go ahead.
So you were saying that
for me, normally you talk about your coworker.
Right, okay,
go ahead. Sorry.
So I was saying, we overly spoil each other. So.
Come on, me and you.
Yes, me and you. Me and you. So it's like
all the time.
Like every month, like, you know, if I go through every month, there's something for us.
Right, we do something.
Everything.
Right.
I'm looking like, can we get a rest in our pocket? And everything. So, like, you know, I just like. It's very different. Like, you know, sometimes it's very split. Like, you know, I've had the BDs, baby daddies.
Okay.
Like, you know, back in the day, not now.
Right.
Back in the day,
just for clarity.
Usually, you know, usually give me something. But, like, you know, other than that, like, you know, it has, it's rare. Like, you know, it's very rare. It's like finding a seashell with a pearl in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, I'm just, you know, this was trying to get your thoughts and stuff.
So, for me, let me put it this way. From you, no. I'm good whether I get a card, no card, whatever, I'm good. Anything. But from the people that we provide for, that's different.
Mm, them gremlins.
That's different. That's different. And it's not about having necessarily expectations.
You have expectations.
But at the same time, for the people that we provide for, some kind of effort, because you have Father's Day and you have birthdays, mm-hmm. and then you have Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, when you have children who are barely adults, at least 2 out of 3 are barely adults. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you get in, you know, it's not, and again, it's not about the gift. It's about the intention behind it. And the effort, you know, that's what you always tell me. It's the effort that was put into finding something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's put it this way. I am probably, I'm gonna say this and you're gonna probably laugh, but I am probably one of the easier people to please when it comes to gifts, if you know me.
Mm-hmm.
If you know me. And so it's nothing that I wouldn't suspect. And Brother Briscoe, if you still on, man, that call-in number is still on the screen, 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. You can get in that way, because we're still trying to figure out. I don't know if you're still looking into how to do this.
Oh, give me 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But you can call. You can call in that number on the screen, bro, and you can get in and have this conversation with me until we can figure out the other part, because we normally don't do digital guests. We like in person. But, yeah, we can do it. My thing is, do something. You know, if you're not working, whatever the situation is, because it amazes me, people not working, but they always got money. Say that again. People not working, but they always got money.
Mm-hmm.
So you got money for this, that, and the third. You got money for this. You got money for that. You got money for weed. You got money for liquor. You got money for this. You got money for that. So you could have found even if it would have been an empty card, I would have been okay. Mm-hmm. Right? I appreciate text messages. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate text messages, because at least even if you had to text 15 people, hey, guess what? I was in the number. I'm good, right? So that's something.
Mm-hmm.
But to have no to get no, it, that just that would kind of to that would that I'm not gonna say it bummed me out a little bit, but when there are no plans made, I think it's always up to the children, or at least if the children don't know what to do, then somebody should have called you and be like, hey, what we doing? What we doing for, I don't think you should give anything if you feel pressure. Absolutely not. I agree with you, please. I'm not saying be pressured, but I'm saying if you thought about it, if your intent was to do something and the excuse is I didn't know what to do or I didn't have this or that, you know, if it's me, and I'm just saying, kids, this is a different generation. Y'all more than creative.
More than
creative. Got access to more information. It's nothing for you to go and have they reached out to you and said, hey, Ma, what we doing for Dana for Father's Day? Or we want to do something. Help us out. Okay, boom. Right?
Right.
And then it goes from there, and then whatever happens, happens. Or if you don't, you don't. So,
you know, even if I may be the...
even if you end up being
the
financier, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the way it works. But I get all of that. But at the same time, it's something
mm-hmm.
versus... not even a Happy Father's Day text or whatever. Mm-hmm. Felicia said this. Let me go back to your other fleet comments, Felicia. She said, I think personally the media does not promote it as much as Mother's Day. Of course they don't. And churches preach a whole different message on Father's Day than Mother's Day. That's true. A lot of Father's Day messages are challenging. I'll say that language. A lot of Father's Day messages are challenging to men. There's always some semblance of a challenge issued to men. And so it's different than those of most Mother's Day messages. You're right. They're always talking about, you know, a Proverb 31 woman. They're always talking about, you know, this is that, a jewels and all this other kind of stuff. So, yeah, it is different. But you're right. From a media standpoint, Father's Day is not pushed. It is not. And now, because Juneteenth is not a federal holiday, where you think all the attention going? To Juneteenth. Ain't no, you know, now.
We definitely got to talk about that.
We are. So all the attention is going to Juneteenth. All of the celebrations and decorations are Juneteenth, especially when Juneteenth falls this close to Father's Day being. Father's Day always hits that, whatever that third Sunday or second Sunday, third Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as long as Juneteenth is officially the 19th, that's the day, that's the official holiday. So next year it'll be on a Tuesday, and then it'll get a little bit further away. It'll get a little bit further away to get out of my future show. Man, come on, call in, Briscoe. 323-870-4375. Put it back up on screen. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. But again, it's all in the effort, especially in our communities. You would think because of the I don't want to say lack of fathers, but because of what has happened to black fathers, he said, listen, on my phone. Oh, you're already on your phone with the call-in number. Just push one. Just push one. Push one. Oh, there you go. That's you right there. Let me see. Tony Briscoe, what's up? You on the air, TTLO Radio, sir?
What's happening?
If that's you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, go ahead. There you go. Well, now we got you.
There we are. All right. What's going on, Doc?
What's going on, Tony Brisk? What's going on, sir? How you feeling, man?
Bruh, man, look, you talking the talk, bruh. You talking the talk, sir. You know, I was thinking myself, man, it's like, you know, I did a funeral last. I was called to do a funeral last Monday out of the blue for a young cousin I didn't know died at 15 years old, gun violence.
Wow.
And I looked at every young black man that was in there. I said, I know y'all strapped. I could tell how some of y'all walking and holding y'all waistline.
I said,
but I want you to know there is a target to erase black men out of this country.
Wow. Wow.
It's a target on your back, and there's a target on your front. The target on your back, you can't see it coming. But the one that's on your front, the attack against black men is so blatant that they ain't even got to come behind your back anymore to take you out and assassinate you. And you all are the ones doing the work. I told that to a room full of GDs, man.
Wow.
Now, you know the Holy Spirit had to be with me to say something like that to GDs.
All day, sir. All day.
You know.
Wow.
But what you're talking about, when you talk about Father's Day, God has just always given me no excuse to be an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
from the
yeah.
foster care homes, my brother and I, every house we went to, he always gave me, I don't care if your biological father ain't there, I'm going to put a whole bunch of other men around you so you still will have no excuse, son. And so I called it dad, build a dad.
Okay.
I called it bad, build a dad. And it was literally the men in the church. I saw how they held doors.
Mm-hmm.
I saw how they talked to their wives. I saw how they took care of their kids. And so no matter what condition I ended up in, there was always an example of two examples of men I grew up with. One's to model and one's not to model.
Wow.
That's
wow.
it.
Okay.
God left no room for excuse. And then he took it to a whole nother level when I thought I was going to get on my pity party, and he said, hold up. Okay, so you want to go there? Well, I got something else for you in my word. When your mother and father forsook you, I took you up. What's your excuse now? I never had an excuse.
Wow. You got me.
So the profoundness when you talk about how now Juneteenth and Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen more around this holiday weekend
yes.
about Juneteenth,
yes,
celebration, parties, concerts, church festivals, parking lot ministry, you name it. They did it. Now, my daughter goes to another church. She's been going to the other church since she was like 6. Now, on Mother's Day, they canceled the Sunday evening time with the kids. You think they canceled that on Father's Day?
What?
I said, hey, baby girl, you don't have youth group tonight. She was like, yeah, I got youth group tonight. I said, now, wait a minute. How is it on Mother's Day you cancel youth group, but on Father's Day you like, hey, it's business as usual?
Jesus. But you know what? Are we surprised? And I guess, and here's the deal, because when we talk about Father's Day, we talk about fathers universally, so we're not even talking about black fathers. We talk about Father's Day, period.
Right.
Because, and I'll take it a step further. It you know, and I don't want to make the show about this, but you know, it's literally, it feels like the attack against manhood, period. And I know I'll get labeled, and it won't be, and I'm okay with it because I'm used to it. But it feels like an attack on fathers, because we want to call. And let me say this real quick. I appreciate at least the friends of mine that I, at least my so-called Facebook friends. I did not see a plethora of women saying Happy Father's Day to themselves. Now, I'm not saying they didn't do it.
Mm.
I did not see a whole lot of that yesterday like I normally do. Normally, used to see, especially single black parents, they would say it all the time, Happy Father's Day to myself. Happy, you know, women. And so they kind of chilled that this year, which I applauded them for saying, you know what, you know, we you know, whether we're doing this by ourselves or not, we're going to at least celebrate the guys that we do know that's doing it the right way. And it feels like my other listener, Felicia, says, she says that, you know, the media doesn't push it. You know, like I said, I got advertisements, and I checked my email because I was curious. I got advertisements for Ace Hardware, Home Depot, and that was it. But even the sales at the stores at the clothing stores weren't geared towards me. Go ahead, Tanya. Did your mic die? Yeah, you turned it off. Try that again.
So.
Whoa, go ahead.
There it is. True. Because I usually tell everybody the best sales are Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Father's Day,
mm-hmm.
and when it's time to go back to school, all that college dorm stuff or home stuff and everything else like that,
mm-hmm.
because it truly was like before Father's Day, there when we went to the store, there was 30% off at the Nike outlet and everything else. So I'm like, are you serious right now? I'm like, I ain't never seen 30.
Oh, okay.
I usually tell people that those are the best sales,
but,
and everything else like that.
But nationally, is what I'm saying is
then,
that is that
there
nationally
were, there were events. There were some real men cook events and barbecues and everything else out there, and it, you know, everything else like that. This time around, like, you know, you guys were 2 or 3 days off, or you know, from the Juneteenth, and you know, and a weekend, so it just, you know, it merged together.
Yeah. And I think that's the same thing that we look at that. And thank you, Brother Briscoe, for staying with us for a few.
Yeah.
It's all good, man. It's one of those things where, there is it seems like, oh, it's not a big, it's Father's Day. It's not a big deal. Whereas every commercial during the last week of every commercial after Valentine's Day, I'm sorry, not Valentine's Day. We got March, April. Every commercial after Easter is for mom, mom, mom. You see this, mom, jewelry stores, mom, you know, Jared, mom, Zales, mom. Everybody's mom, mom, mom. And again, that's beautiful because we should. But at the same time, that push for Father's Day, it's non-existent. And then in the black community, you know, for the longest, because of a lot of it is some of it is self-inflicted, others is, you know, law and rule inflicted. But because of the separation with fathers in the black community, or the lack thereof, it just seems like it has become this thing where it's not a big deal. Now, let me get me wrong. There are some kids who go out of their way to celebrate their fathers, especially daughters, who got really tight relationship with their father. They go out of their way, whether they got money or not. They're going to beg, borrow, and steal to get something for daddy because they have those relationships. Sons who have very good relationships with their fathers, you know, they're going to go out of their way. But on a whole, emptiness about Father's Day. And, you know, like Felicia said earlier, and we talk about it all the time, there's no place you couldn't get a reservation yesterday. I bet you yesterday, Father's Day probably was the best day to try to get in one of the restaurants you normally can't get in.
Well, you know, okay, here it is.
Like that one on in the West Loop over there, where the that's downstairs from the bank, from where the fundraiser place used to be at.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Should have tried that, but go ahead.
But you know,
and then come on back, Briscoe.
Here's the thing, you know, you guys are men and everything else like that, and so a lot of men say, "I want to rest. I'd rather cook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be out." So, like, you know. In the grand scheme of a man's mind, you guys are problem solvers and everything. Half the time, you guys don't want to be, you know, out anywhere. I just want this day to relax and everything. So, like, I couldn't even resolve to, if I was a commercial person or ad person, like, you know, how can I push this? Like, you know, get that man a bed, get him a recliner. Like, you know, how can I push this? Like, you know, yeah, like, yeah, I understand every kid, you know, belongs to Kay and everything else like that. But how can I, like, you know, what can we do? Because men are diverse creatures.
Come on, Briscoe, what you got?
We are simple creatures. We are.
Yes.
We don't require much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't require much. And it's like you said, I pretty much needed rest yesterday. I needed rest. You know, I had to get over myself because it's like, you know, my wife told me this week, she said, "Bro, I don't read mine. So if you specifically want something for Father's Day, you're going to have to go ahead and break down and tell me what that is." Right, and I'm like, wait a minute, we reverse roles here? This is usually me talking, you know, but with that, I was just like, you know, because at the end of the day, like, I'm a wordsmith. Words of affirmation is my biggest thing. You ain't got to buy me nothing, get me nothing. If you just pour into me with words, I'm golden, right?
Yeah.
So I got a card, I'm straight. My daughter got me a card. They both got me gift cards. Amazon gift card. Like, hey, I'm good. I don't need nothing else. I wanted a crumble cake, but I just went to the. I went to the doctor on Friday, so I didn't get some A1C numbers back yet. So I'm like, she was like, "Yeah, we're not gonna do that." I felt like she was Claire Huxtable. You know what I'm saying? We're not doing the crumble cake. Tell them A1C numbers come back, bro. But you are right. I remember one year I was like, you know what? I want to go to the Cheesecake Factory for Father's Day.
Mm.
We walked in the Cheesecake. It wasn't even a line. And Father's Day for the Cheesecake.
And for me,
walk right,
you know,
in.
That's to me, going out. This is why I going out on Father's Day is not a big deal for me. I like going to, and we go to restaurants. I like it when the restaurant has some life in it. Like, so like when you go to a restaurant and there are other people having a good time, you know, it's crowded, but not overly crowded. It's, you know, you got good vibes. Yeah. People are leaving, you know, the table next to you has got somebody, everybody's there celebrating. You know, it's like when you take your better half out for like Valentine's Day or whatever, or their birthday or the anniversary, and you go out and there are other couples out celebrating and you know, that vibe kind of fills the room. On Father's Day, I think part of the reason a lot of men don't want to be out is because it's so doggone dry. It's like you said about the kids. Like, you go in the restaurant, and if the kids go, great. But if it's just me and you, and I'm not saying the other person ain't good company, but you look around the restaurant, and it's like you, and then there's one daddy over in the corner. He over there sitting there, and, you know, the bartender is bored. You know, everybody just saying, you looking like,
yeah,
man,
you
stayed home. We could have.
You want the ambiance. You want the whole ambiance experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get it. You know what's weird, and I don't know why, you know, their holidays are not as prevalent overseas. But I'm going to tell you, when I was in Ghana in October, November last year, the honoring of men in Ghana.
Absolutely.
The honoring of women in Ghana off the chain. But
yes.
We had to go visit a village, right? You could not even just visit the village without the chief knowing you were coming.
Wow.
When you rolled up, you had to meet with them. It's just it's a regular village. This village is not prosperous. They barely had running. They didn't have any running water. They were just building the irrigation system in this particular village. But I got to go in and see the whole process of what it takes to talk to a village chief. It wasn't no joke. They really have this honor and reverence. And when the queen mother came in behind him and sat down, if the queen mother, you're not supposed to stand up and greet her. You sit down, and she walks to you and greet you. Standing up in front of the queen mother is a sense of aggression for them. So queen mother was like, she gave me the hand, don't get up.
Okay.
And I sat down quick because they had their people with them. You know, I ain't want to get knocked out. But yeah, when it came to meeting Big Chief, like I gave the Big Chief one of my watches, man. I had a watch. I gave the chief my watch. And my buddy said, if you ever decide you want to move to Ghana and be in his area because you did this for him, he got you. His village will remember you forever, Tony, because you honored him.
But, you know,
that you treasured.
There is that the lack of reverence for men has fallen or has been displaced. And part of it is, for lack of better, I know I'm probably getting in trouble. Part of it is some of the laws that have been passed. Part of it is these other agendas that are being pushed. And so, you know, being, you know, what the essence of what a man is and what a man does, it's almost shunned now. You know, it's put into a atmosphere of, okay, good. Not okay, great, but okay. So if you got one, you got one. If you don't, you don't. If it's a man there, great. If not, great. So it's like there's no positivity behind it. There's not a leg up because a man is there. And it's now being portrayed that there's not a leg up because a man is there or a man is present. Whereas before, okay, if the man is going to show up, if the man is going to stand up, then that we're going to honor and we're going to respect that. But, you know, part of it is the society we're in right now. It's the community that we've allowed to take place, that we've allowed to shape around us for whatever control we do have. We gave it up. So now that's why you got all these little boys running around being stupid because there's no man standing up. And I applaud single mothers, I applaud the women, but again, because there are no men standing up, that there is like, okay, well, you know, the men can't do it, so let the women do it, you know. And I don't know, you know, I know a bunch of strong women, but I don't know none of them that would say, that would tell, at least not they wouldn't tell it to me, that they didn't know, that they didn't need a man around. I don't know any that tell me that, none. So
yeah, Doc, let me tell you how deep the plot went, Doc, real quick. Because I really called in for the topic you had up there. But yeah, that topic, man, that topic called me quick. But the plot goes this way. I lost my nephew in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
My brother went through almost a year and a half battle trying to keep his son in his house.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, there was a bunch of conspiracy going on, you know, with the mom, with a couple of her friends, you know, and all this other stuff, the school. My brother looked at this judge who, one, had no kids, black woman. He said, Your Honor, if my son is not under my care, he will not live past the age of 18.
Jesus.
My son needs to be with me. Gonna get him if he not with me, or the streets gonna get him if he not with me. The judge heard nothing my brother said. My nephew died at 18 years old.
Jesus.
He was six months shy of his 19th birthday. My brother told the judge, if my son is not under my care, he will not live. And he didn't. Past 18 years old.
Man. That is...
So when you talk about laws that are in place, that when our homes are so out of whack that we've got to let the system make decisions on where the child goes,
a black
man will lose every time, and his children will pay the price for it. My nephew will never come back. He's gone now.
Yeah. And that's that, and from and that, and that's one of the things I appreciate about the school that I'm at. When I talk to the parents at the school that I'm at, you know, they the first thing they say is we are so. When I got the job, and because they make like an announcement, they send out a you know a newsletter to the parents and everything, so they see your picture and everything. And the one word I heard from every parent was, "Thank God, there's another black man in the building." That literally from the and that was from men and women. Because even the men was like, bruh, I'm, you know, thank God it's somebody else in the building that ain't going to play no games. Thank God.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you that there is a need for that strong somebody else to hold you accountable that ain't trying to kill you, that ain't trying to punish you, ain't trying to lock you up. Because that's a different kind of accountability. I want to hold you accountable so you don't end up in that particular system. Right. But again, the world, the media will tell you, oh, you don't need that kind of accountability. Oh, they just need a hug. They just need this. They just need that. And yeah, hugs are necessary. But sometimes I need to put a chokehold on you, too, because I'd rather put the chokehold on you in the house because I know I ain't going to kill you versus them putting a chokehold on you in the street and they don't care nothing about you. So you know there is a difference there, and you know as far as when it comes to Father's Day, man, I wish, and it, maybe it's up to us, you know, as men and fathers, it's up to us to say, you know, like you said, your wife said it best. Maybe we got to say what we want.
Maybe
we need to start 100%. Pushing. Maybe some of a lot of these guys, a lot of these marketing companies, all these large companies in branding. You know, a lot of them, you know, men are no longer in those departments. Men are no longer the people sitting behind the table for those commercials anymore. So unless there's a man, a man's man, let me say that real quick. Unless there's a man's man sitting at that table when it comes time to create the advertising for Father's Day and such, it's going to be lackluster. It's going to continue to be lackluster, man. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, man, look, I appreciate you calling, man. I do appreciate you calling in, man. This was good. I'm about to have you pop on in here on Monday, man, and just sit down with me. You're still in the city, right?
Yeah, I'm still in the city, yeah. My show is on Monday, but I'm on hiatus for the rest of the summer, man. Me and my boy taking a break. We'll come back with a later season. But I do want to say one thing you brought up real quick, Doc. You brought up talking about being in the school and being that face. And that's the dilemma that I'm struck with now. And I got a lot of praying to do because right now working at IT, I have blessings working in IT, you know, financially.
I hear you.
But I also recognize that my impact being inside of a school system where I'm engaged, not just working for, but where I'm engaged, that's big picture. So I started talking to somebody last week. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it means. I just got to seek God, man, because it makes no difference if I'm making this nice paper, but I'm watching my people die.
Yeah.
And I'm watching our young black boys die, but I'm still making this nice paper, like getting to a place where, hey, man, you're a Christian. God got you. He'll take care of you whether you're making this or that. But the impact of changing the generation for the next few years, that starts now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I wanted to acknowledge that and thank you for saying that.
Oh no, man, I appreciate you, man. And look, man, you on hiatus, man. Look, let's set something up, man. You pop, come up here and sit with me on the Monday, man, and we can do some discussion. We're pre-planning something, and you know, y'all, you come in. Look, because I know because I've been trying to get the whole crew in here. I know my man is in DC, right? I know what's called is here. My preacher brother is here. And my sister is here.
Yeah,
but,
Doc is here. You talking about? Coach O
is in. And he on the East Coast somewhere, right?
Yeah, he's in one of the Carolinas. Yeah,
one of the Carolinas. Okay, he over that way. So, but yeah, man, you know, I told y'all, man, come on in here, man. We turn Monday out. Because I got plenty room and plenty mics in the studio. So y'all come on in here, man. We have a good time. But I appreciate you, Briscoe, man. You stay blessed, man. Stay safe too.
You got it, man. You all too. Take care.
Yes, sir. That was my brother, Brother Briscoe. He has two shows, actually. He's on the show Felicia said she ain't got an invitation yet. She, he was on the show. He's on the show. I can't think of the name of it. He has his own show, Tony Briscoe Live. But then he also has, he's on the show. What's the show that comes on Tuesdays? I can't think of the name of it. You know, my mind is bad. The After Dinner Conversation. Thank you. The After Dinner Conversation with him and Dr. Charles Brown and a couple other people. They always go. Felicia, she ain't got no invitation. Felicia, you been here. Look, take that up with Tanya. After Dinner Conversations. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, man, look, yeah, but again, I appreciate all y'all. Hopefully, look, fathers, look, don't be discouraged. You know what I appreciated about yesterday? And I wish I had it. We probably should have, if I'd have been thinking, I would have told you to download it. We could have grabbed and snatched it. I don't know if that was original work or whatever, but Jaconda's poem yesterday was amazing. I'm just going to say that. Sister Jefferson, that poem was absolutely, was it entitled We See You? I don't know if that was a title or not, but that poem was absolutely amazing. I am just like always. That blessed me yesterday. That poem, We See You, that thing was good. So kudos to her. Thank you, Miss Jefferson, for that wonderful, wonderful poem yesterday. That thing was, like I said, I don't know if it was original or whatever, but it didn't matter. If it was original, kudos to you. But if you found it and read it, kudos to you, because I hadn't heard it, and it was all right with me. That thing was good. That was good. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I believe that's who that is, Felicia, on Dr. Charles' show. Yes. I believe. You got a pink background, Briscoe? I didn't know you had a pink background on the show. Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't know he had a pink background on the show. That's hilarious. Anyway, all right, y'all know it's still church check-in. No, he's got the locks. He's got the locks, Felicia. He's the one with the brother with the locks. It's church check-in, church check-in. Y'all know what to do. It's church check-in, the four-piece check-in. I want to know where you worshiped yesterday, who preached yesterday, what was the scripture, and what was the sermon title. If you went to church on Father's Day, whether you were in person or you were virtual or whatever you want, bedside Baptist, whichever one you went to, what church did you go to? That's one piece. Who preached? That's piece number two. Scripture, that's piece number three. And sermon title, that's piece number four. Come on now, that's a leg, thigh, breast, and a wing. I need the four-piece check-in. Come on, check in real quick. Come on, let us know what your church service was like yesterday. I saw some good. You know, I saw Valley Kingdom. Is that what Percy, is it Percy Beatty now who's the pastor at Valley Kingdom, I believe? They did a tribute yesterday to Fathers. I don't know if it was for their whole service, but, you know, they have the whole, you know, stage production where they kind of put all the stuff out on the stage. So they kind of had chairs up, and I don't know if this was a part. I didn't watch it. I just saw the clip. And they did, like, tributes to Fathers that were in the audience. I guess he had some of his staff get up and do some tributes to their fathers. The whole production piece was fire. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was amazing to see. They kind of were sitting in high chairs on the stage, like about six of them. And I think the pastor was sitting in the middle, and he just let them, you know, kind of pass the mic around, and they had the fathers' pictures up in the background. You know, they got the large video wall. So they just had that whole thing going. I was like, that was pretty cool. So, but yeah, church check-in. Felicia always first on the church check-in. She's at the church, All Nations, Aurora, Pastor Talat McNeely, still talking from the series from the Pivot Point. The message was, you got this, the emotions of the promotion. Ooh, the emotions of the promotion. Let me get this here. Let me see what that's. Ooh, that, I like that title. Hold on. Where's my stuff at over here? The emotions of the promotions. 1 Kings 3, 7 through 12. Let's look at that. Let's see how this sermon title and stuff all go together. 1 Kings 3, 7 through 12. That's the New Living Translation. I'm going to read that version. 7 through 12 says, now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father. Ooh, I already see it. the emotions of the promotion. Woo! You have made me king instead of my father, David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? Verse 10 says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that. The emotions of the promotion. Oh, my God. That preached to me right there. I'm about to pop in and look at that one. That's good. Let me get the other scripture. Proverbs 3 and 5. That one sounds familiar. Proverbs 3 and 5. Proverbs 3 and 5. Let's see. Proverbs 3 and 5. Let's get there quickly. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, oh, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I knew that sounded familiar. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I kind of mixed up NIV and NLT. That's good. And then, of course, Acts 17 and 11. Let's get there. Go ahead. Still church check-in. Y'all got time to check in. Let me know what church you went to, who preached, scripture and sermon title. Acts 17 and 11, NLT. Let's go. Acts 17 and 11, NLT says, New Living Translation. Come on, act right, computer. It says, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were telling the truth. Oh, this is good. Yeah, I want to see how he broke that down. That's good. Yeah, send that to me, Felicia. You know, I'll be waiting on it. That's good stuff right there. I like that, y'all. I like that. I like it when the title and you read the scripture. That's why I want to know what scripture is before I know the title. That's why I ask y'all scripture then title. Because when I read the scripture and then I hit that title, I'm like, oh, okay, got it. Especially when they have homiletically exegeted the scripture. Huh? Yeah, homiletically. Uh-huh. Y'all will get that later. Anyway. Or hermeneutically. Huh? Come on now. So, but that's good. That's good right there. I love it. Anybody else, church, check in. What church did you go to yesterday on Father's Day? Did you go? Maybe you didn't. That's all right. But if you went to church yesterday, let me know. Type it in the box. What church you went to, who preached, sermon title, and scripture. Amen, amen. While we doing that, just in case y'all got any more, I do have to talk about, and this kind of goes back to what myself and my brother Tony Briscoe was shot. Tony, the number has risen. It was updated an hour ago. Because we said we was going to talk about, she said, spell it and say it again. The first one was the first one was homiletically. That was the word, homiletically. I might have just made part of that up because it comes from the word homiletics. But homiletically is H-O-M-I. Come on, you got it. H-O-M-I-L-E-T-I-C-A-L. I don't know about the L-Y part because I just made that part up. But, yeah, homiletically, that is. And then the other was hermeneutic. Hermeneutically. Phil Herman, and then put a nudically on the end. That is. Oh, God. So anyway, we were going to talk about the 55 people that were shot across the city over the weekend. But I'm gonna play a little bit of this clip from ABC 7 News. I was going to make sure we get credit to the right people. She said, I thought you meant something about singing. No, I didn't say harmonetically. I said harmonetically. Let me play this real quick from ABC 7 News, and then we'll talk about this craziness in our city. Make sure I turn this volume down some. Let me play this and then I'm on. Never mind. I was going to play that, but it's 14 minutes long. I'm not playing the whole video. Two things. The last part of the video kind of got me. Brandon Johnson's. And let me be transparent. I voted for Brandon. Be transparent. But some of his comments, I know how politicians like to play the game. And because, you know, Obama did it when he got elected, you know, because he got elected in the midst of a recession. So he got to say, I inherited in a bad economy. And you got to say that for pretty much his first term. But then the second one, you owned it. Got it. So Brandon Johnson is saying, you know, he inherited a city with violent problems. But you knew that when you were running for mayor. Can I just say that? And I know we actively trying to get an interview with Brandon Johnson, and I might be messing that up right now, but that's okay. Y'all know how I feel about stuff. You knew the city you were trying to be mayor of. So to say you inherited is not it tries to brush it off like, yeah, I know it ain't my fault, or it just kind of brushed it off like Lori Lightfoot lost the election. She gone. We ain't seen her nowhere. She at home chilling with her people and raising her people. So that it is what it is. Just like Mayor Daley, still in Chicago. It is what it is. This is your show now, sir. You won fair and square. You got it. So let's not say it is. Thank you, Briscoe. It is a cowardly statement. It's a very cowardly statement because it's kind of like, well, you know, this was here when I got here. Okay, but it was here when you decided to put your name on the ballot too. It was here when you decided you were going to knock on people's doors to have them sign a petition to get you put on the ballot. 50 people were still dying on, 30 people were still being shot, 15 people were still being shot, 14-year-olds were still being shot. 15-year-olds were still being shot. So I get that. I understand the political game. But let's not say that anymore. You know, whoever, I know this ain't gonna never get to him. But if somebody know this, y'all can tag. Look, you know me. Tag Brandon Johnson. I'll do it myself. Tag, because he don't even have, if he have a Facebook page, I didn't know he had his election page. I didn't know if he had a Facebook page, but y'all can tag him, his people, whoever in this. But bruh, don't say that no more. Please, ma'am. Please, sir. Let's just not say that anymore, because it's just it just leaves a bad taste in the mouth. But let's get past that. Please say Auntie Laura got the liquor store. I'm done. So look, here is what I have. 60 plus people got shot over the weekend. 60. When we, at the time we were programming the show, the number was 55. 60 people have been shot. Because you know they're counting today as part of the holiday weekend. So whatever shootings happen up until 12 midnight tonight are going to get counted in the holiday shootings. So this number could easily get wherever, right? It's hard to say. Y'all know me. We talked about this for years. I've been on the air. Y'all remember we was at the old studio. Y'all remember we would be in the studio. That's when the show used to come on at 12 noon. How often y'all would hear both either the gunshots while we were on air. Y'all could hear the gunshots. And y'all can hear the ambulance and or the police department riding by, literally, while we were on the air. You don't know how many times that happened. Literally, there was a bus stop got shot out across the street from our old studio. Glass, people shot and everything. That's when they got ran up and Shine came that day while we were on the air. Literally, it was that bad. This has been going on for some time. I don't know what it's going to take. Yes, there's a space and place for the church. Yes, there's a space and place for government intervention. No, you cannot feed money into the problem. Money is not the only solution to the problem. Pouring, and I know people say, well, and I know the city has put money into a lot of the nonviolent programs, the alternative programming and stuff for kids to do and things like that. But it's summertime in Chicago, and technically it ain't even the first day of summer yet, because when is that? This week? First day of summer is this week? The 20-something?
Yeah.
So the first day of summer is the 20-something this week, and we've already started it. There is going to have to be, and I don't know when the number has to change, because we talked about this. I remember saying on at this very time, I remember when it was 30, and I was like, what does it got to do to get 50? Then I remember it got to be 65 one time. I was like, what it got to do to be 100? Then we broke the 100 a couple. I think it was before the pandemic. I think it was like 19. One of them holidays of 19, I believe we broke the 100 shots in a weekend. 18 or 19. One of them years. Memorial Day-ish, whatever it was. Felicia said they too busy worry about the migrants and where they're going to live. That's a hard one for me. But I'll say this, and I'll talk about that, Felicia, and then I'm going to move on, because y'all good for getting me going somewhere else, but I love it. I love it. These young brothers need something. And but it's not cajoling. It's not – it has to be something where is – So the other day, I'll use this one example. I know, right? I use one example. Me and Tanya was driving down through the west side the other day, and it was a police car parked in the middle of the street. I didn't know, because I don't pay attention that much, that the police car is empty. That's sitting in the middle of Madison Street. It's in between Laramie. And no, it's before Laramie. It's before you get to Laramie, right? Yeah. So it's like in between Cicero and Laramie. There is a police car parked literally across the street from a gas station that's normally very busy. A lot of extra stuff going on at a gas station. That's not a marathon, is it? What is it? I don't know what it is. Is it a marathon, or is it one of them other joints? It's one of them other hood gas, whatever you want to call them, gas stations. And so now there's a police car that's just parked there. And I guess the purpose of it being parked there is supposedly to deter anything extra that might happen, because people assume the police are there. Now, the windows aren't that tinted. So if you walk past it just crossing the street, you can clearly see that nobody's in it. But I guess the goal is to deter somebody who might do something against the law from doing it right there at that particular time. She said a decal, a decoy. But down further down, going east on Madison, y'all know where I talked about the open air drug market right there between Madison and Springfield and Madison and Plaski. I've talked about it quite often. They've made that attempt, but again, nothing happens. The problem is, and I had a conversation with the alderman. I've had a conversation with the precinct captains. I've had conversations. And I don't know if I shared this with you all. So they did a sweep. They came out, rounded up all of those people that was out there selling open-air drugs in the middle of the street. And I was told 15 minutes later, there were 10 more people in their spot to pick up where they left off. So literally, so it goes down to, this is why I know Kim Fox is leaving, or is she gone? Is she gone yet? She's leaving. She ain't seeking re-election or whatever. I know she's leaving. And I know there has been an overcharge of criminal activity in our, an overcharge of crimes with black people involved. They've been overcharged. I get that. And I know this is probably going to get me in a whole lot of trouble with my super liberal people. But you know what? That's what I do. If you are out there on the, and I know because marijuana has been made legal, that the crime of selling marijuana is no longer what it was. But unfortunately, you have opened up Pandora's box. Because now, because marijuana is legal, and the purpose of making it legal was so that so many black, young black boys and girls would not be locked up. But help me, my brothers and my sisters, who is out on the street corner selling the marijuana out in the open in the middle of the day? It's our people. Now you can say maybe they didn't try to get a cannabis store. Maybe they should have applied for a job at a cannabis store, put their little stuff together, and got them a cannabis store. I don't know. But my problem is it's done more harm than good. Because now there is no level of accountability. Because you're going and you're getting released. Just like the dude, and I've shared with you all my stolen car story a little bit. But I'm going to share the whole thing with y'all real soon with pictures and graphs and everything. I'm going to have a good time with it. He said, no, that wasn't the purpose. It was to make white folks richer. The other was a residual benefit. Well, that's what got you're right, Briscoe, but that's what got black people to support the law. White folks got rich because they got all the licenses. Black folks was bought into it to say, hey, you can get Lil One out of jail for that crime he had because he had less than so many ounces. He can get out of jail, so you should back this bill. Back this bill. Well, what should have happened was that, hey, if y'all can open up all these cannabis stores, you know, I need y'all to be hiring some of these brothers. I need y'all to hire some of these brothers. Get them some real jobs because these cannabis stores are making money hand over fist. Don't you got to have a card to go in there? Or no?
No, you don't.
You don't need a card to go into the reefer store?
No, you can just go in. It's
I thought you had to have a card.
It is the white version of the Enterprise from New Jack City. It's a three step process.
Help me.
So you go in.
Sound like you've been in there. Help me.
So you go in.
Maybe you done been in the store. Lord have mercy. You ain't told me nothing. I be finding out stuff on the air. It's a shame I got to find out stuff on the air. Go ahead. Don't be smiling over there.
Sancheesy took me.
That's some stuff.
Sancheesy took me.
Go ahead.
So you walk in.
Uh-huh.
You give your name.
Mm-hmm. You got to have ID?
And then, No, you don't have to have your ID yet.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. You give your name.
So then you can look at the product to see, what kind you want, what
purpose and all that. Okay.
The purpose of it, oil, chewable, leaves, whatever,
uh-huh.
and everything. They got, a vast array and everything. Each place is very different.
Okay.
You walk, then you're in this line. And because you have ordered by this time you have ordered.
Uh-huh.
You have ordered your product.
Uh-huh.
So now you're standing in line, and so then you go to the next window,
mm-hmm.
and they take your ID,
mm-hmm.
just to you know put it in the system,
mm-hmm.
and then they they just looked at the ID. Then you go into another door.
Oh, okay. It's another door.
It's another door. It's like three people. You see three people before you. So then you go to the other door and everything. By that time, your product should be ready.
What's behind door number one?
your product should be ready. You pay for it. They tell you, they don't give you a bag. They tell you, put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, put it wherever, because it can't be seen walking out. They literally are very strict about that. They have signs, so you can get a medical card,
mm-hmm.
so you can pay a more reduced price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, and that's all.
So that's the sort of the medicinal card gives you a reduced price.
Yeah, it's just a reduced price.
Oh, so it's like having a Costco card or something.
You know, but like, you know,
a
lot of people,
it's like
just
a rewards. They have rewards program.
Yes, they do.
I'm done. I'm just playing. Lord have
mercy. Yes, they do.
Right, Felicia, if you don't know me by now, clearly I don't.
I know.
Clearly, Felicia,
no.
I don't.
I've been knowing her for damn near
20 years. Clearly.
And it was an experience. I was like, wow.
Clearly, I don't know. Look at me. Clearly, I can't see clearly now because the weak smoke is in my eyes. Clearly, I don't know.
No, that is really not it. Like, literally, I mean, what can I tell you, like, why you were on retreat? Like, hey, guess what, babe?
Also, while I was on retreat, you was at the weed store.
I'm on retreat
trying to get closer to the Lord and the Jesuits and St. Ignatius and them, and you over here, I'm trying to get higher in him, and you over here getting higher. What kind of
stuff? I did not get higher. We went together. It was an experience. I literally, like, you know me, I'm all for it in exploring.
Experience and exploration.
Exploration. Uh-huh. You know, I came from Polaris.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I ain't go there, but I mean, I am an explorer.
You was an explorer, huh?
And everything, but I can at least tell you the ins and outs. That's literally what I can do.
Isn't that something?
I am a reporter.
The name of the store. Wait a minute. Bruttori. No. Hey, Bruttori, they got some chocolate candy called Incredible.
She has those.
Makes you sleep great at night.
Yes,
what?
She has those.
The name of the stores are targeting young people. Sunnyside, Zen Leaf, Glory, Terrible. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for the amount of shootings in this city. 60 some odd people shot over the weekend and counting, because like I said, they're going to count today as part of the holiday. And it's just sad. It's sad. And I didn't even know. And you know why I didn't know? Cause I didn't actively look. Like, if Tanya hadn't said nothing, I wouldn't even talked about it. Cause I got tired of seeing it. Cause y'all know I used to do it every Monday, especially in the summertime. Every Monday, that was the show, at the beginning of the show. How many people got shot over the weekend? And I just didn't, because I just got tired of seeing it. And I know it's not going to make it go away. But I would love, you know, getting back to the politics of it all, I would love to have a conversation with, it would be the prosecutors and the police department. Because what we found is that in this effort, in this effort to stop locking up black people, we have lowered the standard, which inevitably lowered the accountability piece. So you can go out and commit said crimes, but the level of accountability is minuscule, if at all. You know, I'll give you, you know, a quick one. It's like the brother that stole my car. Right? Or, I'm sorry, allegedly stole my car. This ain't the first car he stole. I got his whole criminal record through 2020, through this last crime. Now, I don't know if he did nothing since then. But through this last, we have his whole criminal record, all of it. And this ain't the first time, because it's no longer Grand Theft Auto. It's now driving a car without the owner's permission. It didn't even say take. I had to go back and look. It says driving. So what they're saying is, they make it almost sound like he was at the house chilling with us and just took the keys. That's the level of accountability now. And then because there's so much other crime going on, that's why even with car theft, and I know we got babies still in cars, and I know that, but you know what?
We were made to be the criminals.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be the criminal.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, at first, like, you know, like, you know, I didn't like the line of questioning. Like, you know, like, you
did you
know,
get somebody the keys?
Did you get? But, no, well, first I'm taking it back. And, like, you know, like, you know, for those that don't like to pay bills, that's on you.
Did you pay your car note?
Right.
That's
crazy. Like, what? Why is that a question? Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, I'm
so you ask everybody that question. That's the first question.
It's an insult. It's off putting.
It's
very much off putting and everything else like that. If that, like, you know, if that's not, like, you know, if your credit card is about to be denied, like, you know, I know some, you know, cards will let the transaction go through just so a person won't be embarrassed and everything else like that. But if that is the case and everything else like that, like, you know, if a person's saying my car has been stolen and made it and they may not have paid their note in months or whatever and everything else like that, still run it and then tell them. But don't ask that question. Like, that question, like, you know, I mean, because it takes nothing from your time and everything else like that. Like, you know, you wasn't doing anything sitting there right now. So, like, you know, if said car was taken because of, like, no payment and everything else like that, like, you know, tell it to me over on the side, but don't make that the first part of the question and everything else like that. Because, like, you know, if someone's telling you there is whole pieces of glass on the...
We got the whole window, right. Yeah.
I don't know that newfangled.
Right.
It's just off-putting at the end of the day.
Felicia said, what'd you say? She says, yeah, but they ain't talking about the risk these kids are taking. A guy out here went and found his car and shot a 14-year-old. And you know what? I'm sorry that 14-year-old got shot. But when you steal, when you commit grand theft, you open yourself up for that. You open yourself up for that.
You're taking somebody's property.
You're taking somebody's property. And then I come and find you. Now, did he come? Now, I don't have the article or the story, but I don't. Did they pull a gun on him, or did he show up with his gun and just start shooting? What, like, because then that's a crime in itself, because now that's vigilantism. But I'm going to tell you what they did. And we'll talk about this once I get once the Batmobile the new version of the Batmobile is returned. they would not tell me where my car was. Well, I was told through Dodge and the GPS and everything else and all those features that even if they found the car, that they were not going to tell me where the car was. They were only going to tell the police. And they do that. I understand why, because they do that in order to, they say for your safety and the safety of whoever else, you know, might be doing whatever else. But I just find it interesting. Not only to say interesting, I think we have to, the accountability level has to go up. And parents of these 14, 15-year-olds, when you're caught, if I'll give you an example. If I found that it was some 14 and 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, that had stole my car, and I found that it was 14 and 15, 16-year-olds that stole my car, I am suing the parents. That's how, and I hate to say that because I know we are a very legalistic society, but that's the only way you're going to shut some stuff down and hold these parents accountable, because you should have known where your kids were at 2 o'clock in the morning when y'all out stealing cars. It's like, I can tell you right now, I have the address and phone number of the guy who stole my car, allegedly. I got his number. I got his mama's address. I got his girlfriend's address. I got everybody's address and the last few addresses he lived at. Right now. Right now. So again, you said you can't hold them accountable because, of course, they're giving kids all the power. And I know that they've done that, but you have to take that power back, what we talked about earlier. We have to take that power back. 14, we talked about it. We talked about this the other day. Well, maybe we didn't. The kids that stole the car. Four kids, people that carjacked the car, not carjacked it, they stole a car, got into a nasty accident, and off the oldest child in the car was 14. The oldest was 14. Think about that. Ain't no, you can't even get a permit. The oldest child was 14 in the car. So, and again, nothing. Those kids gonna get a slap on the wrist because they not going to juvie. 9 times out of 10, watch this. It ain't the first time they stole a car, but it's probably the first time they've been caught. Think about that. And then the police, I get it. I get this, though. The police are overwhelmed, but guess what? Overwhelmed, then you ain't doing your damn job. Because are you processing the scenes when you find these cars? Because, once again, giving y'all bits and pieces of my stolen car story. Chicago, my car was found the same day it was stolen. Later on that day. The same day it was stolen. My car was found in Racine, Wisconsin. They called and told Chicago that they found my car and the person who had the car. And Chicago police, Chicago's finest. I like the TV show. That's the best I can say. But Chicago, I love you, Chicago PD. I wish I knew Voight, because Voight could go and help me out. But Chicago's finest, I talked to the, in Racine, Wisconsin, they have inspectors. They don't call them detectives. They're inspectors. I talked to the inspector who was over my case. He said, bruh, I feel sorry for you. He said, because your police, he literally said this. He said, y'all police department sucks. He said, because they wouldn't even come to Racine, which is how long of a drive? Hour and some change. We looked it up.
About an hour and a half.
About an hour and a half. They wouldn't even go to Racine to process the car or even extradite the dude who got caught with the car. Because they could have easily done all of that. But they didn't. So what happens? Now, Mr. Car Thief, gets goes to court, goes to jail, gets processed, gets the court date, and bonds out. And has bonded out for $500.
And he's not going back.
And he probably ain't going to show up for his court date.
No, he will not be going back to his court date.
Because he don't show up for court date. How do we know he don't show up for court date? Because when you look at his record, he never shows up for court dates. Every time this man bails out, it literally says, bail revoked, did not show up for court. But yet he's still out every time. He's 30-something years. He's 31. It's time for his asteroid to be locked up. It's time. It's time. So I can tell you this. I'm waiting on the court date because I'm going to Racine, Wisconsin. And I know he ain't going to show up, but I'm going to ask the prosecutor. And then, matter of fact, because I got time. I'm going to go holler at the Chicago Police Department, too, to find out why y'all didn't go and do y'all's job. Because what you literally saying is, steal a car, pay $500 to get out of jail, and then go back and steal another car. Or hell, go back and steal the same car. Literally. Right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can pay up. Right. Exactly. He ain't stole the right car yet. And unfortunately, some of these little babies out here stealing cars, and some of y'all know them personally. Don't. I want to hear the sad story. And I can tell you right now, I ain't shedding a tear. I'm not going to shed a tear. I promise you, I'm not going to shed a tear. As much as I want to, as much as I probably should, I am not going to shed a tear when I get a message or a text message or something and I see where some child has stolen another car and he ended up in a bad way because of his car theft. I am not going to shed a tear. I'm not. Because if you ain't buying your kids $200 Jordans and $200 Gucci shoes and Marc Jacobs and what's them shoes, them big ugly shoes.
Yeezys.
Alexander, that one. Mm. What's it called?
McQueen's.
Yeah, Alexander McQueen. You know you ain't spent $400 on the Alexander McQueen. You know, or $500. You know you didn't spend that money. So you'll put your kid walking around with him, and you ain't paying no attention. No. And that's the difference, too. It goes back to that. I know we talked about fathers earlier, but it goes back to parenting, period. My mother will tell you right now, I can call her right now. She might be a little too embarrassing on the air. But I can call her right now, and she will tell you, I couldn't bring anything in my house, in her house, rather, that she didn't pay for. Nothing. I don't care if it was a basketball. Whose ball is this? That ain't your baseball bat. I know the one I bought. Whose bat is this? Whose baseball cap? Whose glove is this? Where's the glove I bought? None of that. And people can say, that's doing too much. No, that's good parenting. I thought I was doing too much as a kid. But right now, I can see the difference. Because the ones whose kids is coming home with all this stuff, your kid, watch this, your kid got a cell phone that you don't pay the bill for? Who paying it? And it ain't Boost. It ain't Boost Mobile. It ain't, who the other one? Those other free phone, not free, but Boost and Boost is, oh, is Boost the only one now?
Boost the only one.
It was another, what was the other one?
Nothing else.
Dang. It was something else other than Boost. Metro's
by T-Mobile.
Metro by T-Mobile.
But Metro is under T-Mobile. It's not like, well, Boost is still under T-Mobile, which is still under
Boost
Sprint.
Boost is under Sprint, right?
So they all together.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But your kid got a whole cell phone that you don't know, you don't got a bill.
It's more easier to use Boost.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they literally saying, like, I can pay $50 on my own.
Where they getting the $50 from? They ain't got no job at 14. That's the parenting piece. I'm sorry. If your kid is under the age of 18, and I'm not even going to say under age 18, your kid living in your house under your roof, and he got $50 or $60 that you didn't give him, and you know he ain't got a W-2 coming from nowhere, somebody ought to ask some questions.
Are you pressing the button?
Yes, because ain't nobody saying nothing, because it's crickets. That's exactly why. Because literally, ain't no way. I mean, think about it like this. Think about it like this. Like I use our kids, for example, right? So everybody know that the middle one, Jalen is a straight hustler. Jalen will find a job and work a bunch of jobs, and then Jalen going to have some side jobs and in another side job. Jalen going to have some – Jalen is all about multiple streams of income. Now, I'm hoping that he's going to get it all together and make them, like, fruitful. But he's about multiple streams of income, right? Oh, cricket. That was the other one. I thought you were saying crickets. Cricket. Is cricket gone?
I don't know what cricket is.
Yeah, cricket wireless. Yeah. But he's always working. He's doing sound over here. He's doing something over here. He's installing something over here. He's fixing something for somebody over here. So if Jalen showed up and he had a couple hundred dollars in his pocket, I'm less likely to ask questions. Now, that don't mean he still can't be out there doing some shady stuff, but I'm less likely to ask questions because he has a history of being able to, I'm going to go over this church and do sound. They're going to give me 75. I'm going to go over here and do sound. They're going to give me 100. I'm going to go over here and install this microphone for dude. He's going to pay me 550. I'm going to go over here. You know, all these different things, right? I'm doing some camera stuff over here. I'm doing this. I'm selling some dinners out the dorm room. I'm going to do this. Whatever it is, he going to have some money. So I'm less likely to question where the money coming from. Okay. Now, the little girl ain't working.
She's a saver.
But she saves money. But she gets money first. So then the question would be, now people give, now these kids are very privileged because they tend to get money from a lot of different people. people donate to the cause.
Yes, they do.
They do. They got good benefactors.
Very great.
Yeah, they got benefactors. So they get money from a lot of different places.
I wish they was benefactoring when I was.
Wasn't nobody benefactoring. Right, right, right. Right.
You can get a loan from Taylor before you can get a loan from
Jalen. Ain't gonna loan no money. Yeah, Taylor.
It's not that he ain't gonna loan. He wearing it. He wearing the money.
Yeah, he wearing his.
He wearing his money.
He ain't got it.
He ain't got it.
He earned it, but he ain't got it.
Taylor is the loan shark.
Yeah, you can borrow some clothes. What size shoe you wear? Right. You want a Coach bag? He got a couple of them book bags. You can. He switch up. You know. Anyway, let me say this. Cause brother, what's my man? Brother Tory asked me, he says, he asked me to give a biblical response, to the violence,
Did you read
some
Jeff Rose about the alleged carjack?
No, what does it say?
It's like up there before you get to cricket.
He said, allegedly tried to carjack one. Oh, wait. Let me go back up. He said.
Oh, we lost a student downtown.
Allegedly tried to carjack one with his girlfriend. Got into a tussle. The drive accelerated and crashed into a. Ooh. Wow. See. Wow. That's unfortunate. It really is. It is. But again. It's a situation that you should have never been in. Should never be in. I don't even know what to say. Because it's just one of those things where people are just, and I don't want to say it's because I am never going to buy into they got nothing else to do. I can't buy into that. Because, Tony, what did you have to do when you was 14, 13, 14, 15? What you had to do? Were you in a part of a program? I know you was a little different. But were you in a program or something?
Mm-mm.
So what did you have to do?
I was at home.
You go outside?
No, you know they didn't let me outside.
Oh, yeah, you didn't get to go outside, poor baby. She didn't get to go outside.
They had their eyes on me. I couldn't be a fast-tail girl, and I couldn't do anything because they had me inside.
Yeah.
I wasn't going over to nobody's house because they didn't know them. And besides that, you know, it was like a 20-question document before I was even released to, you know, other people. So.
We didn't have much to do, but we played outside. And I know a lot of times it's like, well, kids ain't going to play. Kids ain't going to do, you know, they ain't finna go out there and be playing hide and go seek. They ain't finna be playing whatever, whatever. But guess what? Why not? I guess is the real question. Why not? So he said, I was in work study at 15, went to school in the morning and worked at McDonald's all night. Take time to get life insurance if you're turning a blind eye to a thug living under your roof. I know that's right. I know that's right, Regina. Good to see you. I know that's right. Because if you know that dude living in your house that way, yes, you know what? And you should get life insurance. You know why? Because if he do something wrong and he caused some damage to somebody else's stuff, and then he do something else and end up getting his life took, and you get paid, that's why I'm suing. Because you ain't finna get rich off the thug you just let run around and not give me – and not – look, give my deductible back. Give me something. I need some pain and suffering. I need some trauma. A trauma payment. Say that again. I am not calling. I'm glad I was muted. No. I'm so glad. Those are the worst commercials in the world. I'm going to talk about them commercials one day. I think I'm about to get one, record it, and play it, because those commercials are the worst commercials in the world. But I am not one who buys into they have nothing to do. That's one of the things, again, I'm not attacking Mayor Johnson. But that's one of the things that he liked. That's part of his agenda. We, you know, we want to make sure that these kids have something to do. I know mental health is a big deal. Mental health is a big deal. But we can't blame everything on mental health. I know we don't know everybody's environment. I know we don't know everybody's home. We don't know everybody's house. But you telling me that every child under the age of 18 that's out still in the car right now, because somebody's car is being stolen right now in this city, right now. Right now, a kid was just took, literally, before this show is over, five of them going to be missing. But somebody's Kia or Hyundai or Charger is being stolen right now by somebody probably under the age of 18 years old. You going to tell me that every kid has a trauma issue in his or her life, because it ain't just the boys. Every kid has a trauma issue that's out stealing right now? Is that it?
You don't even want to hear the word trauma issue. That's like I don't want to hear, like, you know, oh, their mom passed. Well, how long has she been passed? How long should I let you be the person that you are because your mama passed 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Like, well, how long?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the equivalent to what you're saying is equivalent to they call my mama a name. That's literally what the equivalent we keep saying and everything. Like, you know, trauma, grief, they all have stages and everything.
Yeah.
But you should not stay in those stages. And they should not be used as a crutch.
And that's where, yes, I understand the need for having more counselors in the school system. I understand that. If that's the case that so many of the kids are suffering from some semblance of some kind of grief, I get that. However, at the same time, what part of your grief, maybe I need to ask the count, maybe we need to contact Kimberly, Dr. Thomas. We need to talk to her in a while. What part of, because she deals with families and that kind of stuff. And I would love to see what Dr. Gilliam is up to, because I know he was working with guys that's been in jail and all that kind of stuff. What part of the grief says, I'm going to go call somebody else, I'm going to go steal? What part of, your father was killed? Because I had a student we talked about at the thing on Saturday. It was one whose daddy was killed, a Hispanic kid whose father was killed. He became a complete butthole at school after that happened. And I mean, very angry. And yeah, I understand, give him his space to be angry. But what part of that being angry now says, you who I never had a problem with, Dr. King, I'm going to start cussing at you now. Because now I can cuss at you. So again, maybe I'm missing it. I'm missing it. And it happens because we are overly sensitized people now. Everybody is sensitive to everything. Used to be I used to love going to parties and clubs and big crowds and all that kind of stuff, you know, and people were bumping to you. It was like, oh, my bad. You know, they might mean mug you, but it was what it was, because we still here to have a good time. Now you bump into somebody, it might cost you your life. Right, Effie, we all got pain. Come on. But at what point, why does my pain or their pain have to turn into a crime spree? Why does that pain have to turn into a crime spree? This is not a comic book. This ain't Batman and the Joker, right? Because I guess Batman could have turned into a bad guy after he saw his parents killed in the lot in the alley right in front of him. He technically could have turned into a real criminal. Right? A rich kid saying, okay, I'm mad at the world, so now I'm going to use my money and my wealth to destroy the world that took my parents away. And I know it's make-believe, but I'm just saying, at what point do we stop having that? At what point does the pain become a crutch? So I'll use your statement. At what point does that pain become a crutch? I don't know. I'm hoping those are fireworks. Okay, thank you. A scripture comes to mind. I want to say it's the book of, I think it's in Micah. Y'all get Micah. Y'all know I'm bad with the numbers. I be remembering the book. I'm good. I'm getting better though, because I remember the books, but the numbers just don't always be flowing right. But I think it's in Micah. Let me see. Micah. Chapter 6. Yeah, Micah chapter 6. We definitely gonna get to this article. Did you put this point? Was you over there putting points in and stuff? That's what you was doing? Okay. That's good. Micah chapter 6. Let me see. Let me read Micah 6. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Give Micah chapter 6. Somewhere around the 6 or 7 verse. I'm going to read a little bit and then we'll find out if I'm on point. We'll find out. Micah chapter 6. Let's see. Micah chapter 6. Verse 8 says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights?" I know y'all like, what is he reading? Let me get the Message Bible. Message Bible says, but he's already made it plain how to live, what to do. What God is looking for in men and women is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Huh? Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Verse 9, attention, God calls out to the city. If you know what's good for you, you'll listen. So listen, all of you, this is serious business. Do you expect me to overlook obscene wealth you've piled up by cheating and fraud? Do you think I'll tolerate shady deals and shifty scheming? I'm tired of the violent rich bullying their way with bluffs and lies. I'm fed up beginning now. You're finished. You'll pay for your sins down to your last cent. No matter how much you get, it'll never be enough. Hollow stomachs, empty hearts. No matter how hard you work, you'll have nothing to show for it. Bankrupt lives, wasted souls. You'll plant grass, but you'll never get a lawn. You'll make jelly, but you'll never spread it on bread. You'll press apples, but you'll never drink cider. You've lived by the standard of your king, the decadent life of the family of Ahab, because you slavishly followed their fashions. I'm forcing you into bankruptcy. Your way of life will be laughed at, a tasteless joke. Your lies will be derided as futile and fake. And Felicia said that. She said, love your neighbor as you do yourself. That's the problem. They don't love themselves. You're absolutely right. I see you, Brother Tory. Regina says, many folks took their kids to the ED for a psychiatric evaluation. And because of that process, along with the pharmaceutical industry, ADHD, depression, and anxiety became the excuse for their growth. There are a lot of, here's the problem. And this is why we have to do better with our people. We had so many kids that were over-medicated. When ADHD became a thing, right? When it became the household language and a check. My God. When it became a thing and a check, our kids, a lot of them, were wrongly put on medication. Now let's look at the other side. Because so many were wrongly put on medication, those that probably needed it said, oh, I'm not putting my baby on that. So now the kid that actually needs it because of the poor history, come here, Tuskegee Airmen, because of the poor history and treatment with pharmaceuticals and medicine, now we've excluded going to the doctor to get our kids checked out when they clearly need to. So when little Bobby is pouring alcohol on the cat and setting it on fire, oh, we'll just get another cat. No. When little Bobby decided he's going to put the puppy in the microwave to see what I'm making hot dogs. Oh, that's what you're doing. He don't need no medicine. He just playing too much. He's just mischievous. Yeah, until he cuts your throat when you sleep because he's going to say somebody told him. You turned it off, not me. Oh, okay.
I don't think his batteries are not lasting long.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's defining the fine line between what was an aggressive behavior and mm-hmm. what is actually child's play. Because, I mean, without mentioning any names
mm-hmm.
and everything, you know, me and you both know a person who, you know, as a kid, they pushed the cat out the window. And, cause, you know, but I, you know, and they are now, they are not and have never been a person that needed to go to the hospital and everything. So it's like, you know, I'm like, ugh. Like, you know, when it first happened, it was like, it was a moment, but at the same time,
mm-hmm.
we scan, you know, parents, you know, we try to be the advocate for our kids and mm-hmm. everything else like that. So like, you know, and it's, you know, it's always scary to find out if, you know, if there is something wrong with your kid. Like, you know, it's, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, okay, yeah, don't, definitely don't do drugs, don't drink alcohol and everything else like that. You done everything else, but, you know, now you have a child that may have autism, who has ADHD, who have these, you know, psychological problems and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some of these parents out here, the wealthy and the not so wealthy, they try to teach, they are their children's advocate. Some kids are better. Some kids never get better and everything else like that. Like, it's so hard. Like, you know, this parenting game runs a whole big gamut and everything else like that. But it's just still on the word of accountability that we don't give, you know, make these kids accountable for their action. Like, you know, the moral clause is like, you know, there is good and bad. You knew what you did. Was this good? No. Was it bad? Yes. And everything else like that. And if you can differentiate between those things, then like, yes, you know, like, you know, little Rodney, you need your tail whoop, or you need to be, or you need somebody to, you know, to choke you up every now and then, because you know better. You know better. Like, you know, this is really hard because it touches on so many, you know,
yeah.
So many parts.
I can use my oldest son, Joshua.
That's what
I can use Joshua because Joshua
he didn't need it.
He held a grudge for the longest, and I remember him telling me he was like, it bothers me. And he told me, he said, you let my mama put me on that medication. And I didn't, and again, it was out of my control, legally out of my control, because she was the custodial parent. She is where he was living. And when I came into his life, all of this stuff had already been set up. And so then it started being this situation where, oh, and then when people started saying, like you said, is it about the money or is it about him? And then him, you know, because Josh was playing football. He was doing all this stuff. When that medicine came into play, he no longer wanted to play because, yeah, it made you focus, but then you zoned out of everything else. So you were no longer alert to the things around you. It was like, if I'm going to be look, it's just like me if I was doing this show and I was on and I popped me whatever that stuff is they was giving them kids and I popped one of them. I would literally just be sitting here like this and I would be talking to y'all and it would be that and I probably wouldn't even blink because I would just be sitting here having the conversation and trying to do the show and just sitting here staring at the phone because I know that's where the camera is. And never looking at her, and Tanya would be talking to me, and I probably would never pay her any attention because I would just be sitting here, and the lights and stuff would be blinking around, but I would be focused right here on y'all looking just real different. Yeah. Little Bobby need help immediately. she said, just like that six-year-old that shot the school teacher, but they're charging the mother. Well, she got some responsibility because that gun shouldn't have been left out, but you're right. The 6 year old needs some help.
He definitely needs some help.
Now, yeah. He needs some help because he
felt like the teacher wasn't paying any attention.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he tried. He didn't have the vocabulary.
Right.
But he definitely needs some help. And this school district knew that. Like,
yes.
You know, he had been a problem kid, but everybody kept their eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular time, I thought he was supposed to have things.
He was. He was supposed, right.
Pretty much a para with him.
Should have had a para, yeah. Celestine says, similar to the way some parents are when their child is missing at school and dare anyone at the school to say anything to them about making them the kid accountable. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Patricia says, I was on the receiving end. I didn't care. Many of an eye roll for telling parents that medication was not a substitute for discipline. Your child knew right from wrong before his diagnosis. Amen. Amen. Ramona says a lot of parents back in the day would just take the word of the school counselor and put these kids on meds, not being advocates. Yeah. Yeah. So she says, my nephew's mother put all three of them on medication. They secretly stopped taking it. They feel better and are losing weight. Yeah. My son told me, he was like, he said that pissed him off. I'll use his language. He said he was very upset because he was on that stuff. Because they went from, he didn't want to take, first he was taking the medicine. Once he saw it made him feel, he started spitting the tablets out. He was spitting them in flower pot. He was putting them inside his pillowcase. He was putting them everywhere other than taking them. Then we went and got the patch. That's how, because we, you know, we trying to figure out, you know, so we going through, let me not say we.
And the next step
the
is
patch
the,
was
the
getting,
injection.
Right. So I think he did the injection once or whatever. But then all of a sudden, a lot of the acting out came from, I know I don't need this medicine. So now it's like, oh, if y'all put me on, let me give y'all a reason to put me on the medicine. I'm just going to start doing random stuff. So a lot of that time, you're causing more harm than you are good. You're doing more harm than you're doing good. And again, a lot of these kids, I would love to know how many of these kids, and if we could have some written, maybe that's a show we could have with some, get some counselors in here. We can get, you know, drag Dr. Thomas back in here, see if Dr. Gillian probably would come if he feel like driving, or maybe we put him on Zoom or whatever. But to have them come in and talk about this, this conversation. Regina, don't you work with kids too? But, you know, we can have this conversation where, you know, we can sit down and say, I wonder how many of our kids, and maybe they would know, especially the ones, you know, Dr. Thomas, she don't prescribe medication. So she, right. I don't know if Dr. Gilliam does though. I wonder. But either way, how many kids or families that have gone through probably misdiagnosis? Whereas the kid probably needed counseling but didn't need medication. Because you can counsel without medicine. Y'all want to do holistic everything else.
Right.
Come on
and
now.
And that's the crazy part. Like, I mean, unfortunately, it's the black mother because, it, you know, we're not two-parent households and everything else
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do everything else, but you don't want that talk therapy, huh? Because what, your kid going to say too much? You would rather mute them?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were rather that they be silenced in their own bodies than to have that talk therapy and be able to communicate and everything. And that's a lot of things, you know, start at the root of just communication. Like, you know, we have some accountability and some communication and just getting to the origin of the story. I think we will fare well in this world.
Yeah, Felicia says you really have both counseling and maybe medication. Yeah, counseling ought to be there. And then here's the other side of it. These people, these kids, one of the things I can celebrate, and again, every school has flaws, and I'm sure the one I'm at got some. I'm sure they do. But one thing I can appreciate is the counselors look like them. That matters. I know some people are going to say, that's racist. Get over yourself. The counselors look like them, meaning when they speak a certain way and they say certain things, the counselor can tell whether or not this kid actually has an attitude or that's just this kid's demeanor. Because some kids, the neck roll is the neck roll. It ain't being disrespectful. That's who they are, and it ain't because, and they're not being aggressive. But somebody else talking to them gonna take that as aggression, right? So I can appreciate the fact that the counselors at the school that I'm at, they look like the kids, and they got male and female, right? Now everybody don't need to be at the counselor. The counselor gets you, and the counselor told us when we had our look for PD meetings, stop sending these kids down here who just want to get out of class. I want to go talk to the counselor. You want to get out of class. Because, and that's the other side of it. Too many games are being played on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Too many games are being played on all sides. So, yeah. He says, my kids went to school in DuPage County. The counselor didn't even understand how to family. Yeah. Yeah. So it's absolutely difficult. Claude, have mercy. Look, y'all, we, you know, the hope is, and the prayer is for solutions, right? The prayer is for like-minded people to come together and sit, not only sit at the table, and we know what the problems are, but not only what the problems are, but then be mindful and willing. Have some conversations and have the difficult conversations first with our parents and then with the rest of the community. It's got to start with the parents. And parents, I know how overprotective you are about your baby boy and your baby girl. I recognize that. And I know you were deprived, so you want to try to do as much as you possibly can, and that's why you go above and beyond. That is wonderful. But we are trying to save you some grief and save your child's life. We're trying to save you some grief and save your child's life. So when the teacher calls and tells you your child's behavior, we're calling you so that the police don't have to call you. When we email you, we're emailing you so that the police don't have to contact you. God forbid the morgue contacting you or the hospital. So have an open ear to some teachers. And the way you do that is build relationships with your child's teachers. Let's be honest. It starts right there. If you don't leave your teacher, your child's teacher, you can only say that if you have a relationship with that teacher. If you don't have a relationship, or you've seen this teacher at work or witnessed this teacher, your child ain't always telling the whole truth when he come home and tell you about what happened when the teacher emailed you or why that teacher emailed you. Spend some time. I know y'all busy as all outdoors, but truth be told, I know a whole bunch of them that ain't working. And so in between the hours of 7:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. when your child is at school, you got time. Or after school, you got time. 4-5 days a week, one of them days, you got 45 minutes to an hour to spend some time finding out about your child's teachers. I'm going to get out of here, y'all. We're going to pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for every guest. We thank you for every listener, every viewer, every watcher. God, we're praying for families right now. God, we're praying for the strength of the family to return. God, we're praying for the fathers to be active. God, we're praying for fathers that fathers begin to matter again in this country. God, we're praying that black fathers begin to matter, make themselves matter. How about that? We're praying that fathers and black fathers would make themselves matter in the lives of their children, regardless of the situation, whether they are married, unmarried, single, baby daddy, baby mom, it does not matter. We're praying that fathers would make themselves matter in a positive way in the livelihood of their children. God, we're praying for teachers and counselors. God, we're praying for police officers and prosecutors. God, we're praying that you would be a line, God, that you would draw the line in the sand, God, that your people be treated fairly, but also be held accountable, God, that we have a system, God, that creates a system of godly accountability, grace and mercy, but also with accountability. God, we're praying right now for our city of Chicago. We're praying for every family member that was caught up in this weekend's violence that is still being caught up. We're praying for grieving families, God. We're praying for the family of young Jasmine, the 18-year-old student who was killed in a car accident with four other young ladies a week and a half ago. We're praying for that family, God. We're praying, God, for all families that are grieving right now because of their losses. We're praying, God, for this city and all of those, God, who are in the seat to make the hard decisions. God, we just want to say thank you for who you are and all that you continue to do and what you're going to do. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to get out of here. Y'all stay blessed. Y'all know the routine, and please, oh Lord, if you got to drive through this here city, yeah, the one called Chicago, do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters, keep your head on a swivel, 2T, 1L, 1O, yep, we out. With your head-